we're going to be focusing on excellence. And today I'm just continuing, or maybe even repeating or re-emphasizing some of the things he started with last week. So I titled this The Pursuit of Excellence Part 2, because last week was Pursuit of Excellence. So this is the Part 2. And let us read the scripture for those of us that were not here last week, or even if you were here, this is just another opportunity for us to read the Word of God again. From Daniel chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3. Daniel chapter 6, from 1 to 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Temitope, in the name of Jesus, was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. We see Daniel here as an example of someone who excelled because the spirit, an excellent spirit, was found in him. I want to let you know that you also have an excellent spirit because you were made in the image and the likeness of God. God is excellent. How many of us believe that God is excellent? We sing it all the time. His name is excellent. He is perfect in all his ways. And he said in Genesis, the word of God says in Genesis, that he created us in his image and in his likeness. So if God is excellent, you are excellent. Can someone say, I am excellent? I want you to believe it. I want you to believe it. If God, the owner of the whole earth, is rich in wisdom and power and might, and he's excellent, and he created a similar being, man, we have to believe that we are excellent. And it doesn't matter what you have been called before. It doesn't matter your experiences, your failures. I believe that my assignment today is to establish in your heart that you are excellent and that you have the grace to produce excellent results despite what your past may have been, despite what anyone has called you, despite what you think of yourself. Believe what God says about you this morning, that you are excellent. Amen. God is excellent. We see that in creation. We see that in the word of God. In Psalm 8, verse 1 says, O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And when he created in creation, and when after he created man, he said it was very good. Let's read that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. Genesis 1, 31. And God saw everything he had made, including me. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the eighth day. You are excellent. And excellence is not defined by men, it's defined by God. I want us to see that. So if I ask you, what's the opposite of excellence, what would you say? If I say, what's the opposite of 100%, what would you say? Zero. Newsflash. Well, I would like you to consider it this way. I don't consider myself to be an authority in English or in expression, but the opposite of excellence is average. The opposite of excellence is average. Because if you say opposite of excellence is 0%, if you had 2%, then you say you're excellent, right? Because you're not... So I said, of course, you know you're failing if you have 2% in your exam. But I want you to consider that the opposite of excellence is average. If you consider a chart and you have 0 here, you have 50 right in the middle, you have 100 at the top. 50%, that 50% mark that is average, is the top of the bottom. That's what average is. And when you see that average is not excellent, then you begin to rebel against it. You begin to rebel against mediocrity because definitely you are not the top of the bottom. Are you the top of the bottom? So let's move up our class. Let's move up our thinking to the fact that we are excellent and we should not settle for anything less than that. And we'll consider some meanings of excellence, why people don't pursue excellence, and some tips on how to pursue excellence. Amen. We are excellent people. We are going higher. Amen? So give me excellent attention, or give God excellent attention. Amen. Excellence is doing, so some definitions of excellence here. Excellence is doing ordinary things in an extraordinary way. It's not necessarily about doing more things, but it's doing things better and with purpose. Excellence is not just about doing things, anything you can do. But whatever you find your hands to do, do it diligently. Do it exceptionally. That people will ask, who did this? That some people, when they cook and you taste it, you want to know the sauce. There have been times where I've been to parties and they'll say, who's the caterer? And they'll get the cards of the person who cooked, so that whenever they're doing another event, they would, you know, order their own food. That's because what they tasted was, you know, very, very delicious to their palate. And they're like, well, I must not miss this next time. Now imagine if the person did not cook properly at that opportunity. Then they will miss out on more jobs, more opportunities. And really, it doesn't give glory to God. Good things give glory to God. And I want you to also see that it's not only in the things you do or produce, but who you are yourself. How, let excellence be your mindset with everything. Not only at work. Of course, work is important. As you do your work, just like Daniel, this was not in the temple. Daniel was not in the temple. He was in the marketplace. But what he did, he stood out in it. He was a child of God. And you can see the promotion that came for him. He stood up. So I want us to have the thought in our hearts that our excellence starts from within, and it should affect every area of our lives. I'm sure we all said that confession. And you see that it was saying there, excellence in all ways. Excellence physically. Excellence spiritually. Excellence in your relationships. Excellence with your academics, your success. Excellence financially. Any aspect of your life, pursue excellence. Pursue excellence. Doing ordinary things in an extraordinary way. You know, this reminds me of one story that Pastor Kingsley Okonkwo gave about, you know, doing ordinary things in an extraordinary way. This is about marriage. And he was giving an example of how he bought a gift for his wife. He didn't just buy a gift and say, take, you know, or just bought it and put, you know, with her name on the table. But he hid it in a place. And he had a note on it. And the note said, I know you'll find this just as I found you. That note alone, I guess that note alone would have been the present. If he put a pen in it, it wouldn't have made any sense, or like any big deal. It wouldn't have been a big deal, because the intentionality about hiding it and doing a simple thing like that got his wife happy, right? I got this. So I'm giving husbands tips on what they can do next. It doesn't matter. If you do it and your wife says, you just repeated what Pastor Tokbe said, report her to me. I'm giving you tips on what to do. You know, sometimes in your house as wives, just prepare like the Feast of Esther. And your husband will be like, oh, what's happening? Is there anything special? Did I miss a celebration? And he's like, this is fit for a king. For a key, then after that, just apply for anything. Just ask for a couple of $1,000. You'll probably get a yes. But what I'm saying is, there are different things we do every day, simple things we do every day. Can you add a little bit to it? It's ordinary, but add a little extra to it. That's what excellence is. That's what excellence is. In the military, I think I learned from my sister, she said that if you are 15 minutes, if you come earlier, even if you come at 15 minutes or 14 minutes to the time, they'll tell you that you're late. So if there's an appointment for 9 o'clock, you should be there at 8:45. If you are there 8:46, you are late. That is military standard. 15 minutes before the time, you are there. So, if you're planning to be in church by 10, plan plan to be here 9:45. And you can start small. I mean, start to be here 9:55. And increase it as you go, as you have that as you, at the back of your mind, that I'm giving a little bit more. I'm stretching a little bit more. I'm doing the ordinary things. I'm putting an extra to it because I am an excellent person. Amen? Second example here is excellence is the pursuit of highest quality in character, work, and service for God's glory. I don't know that someone is excellent. I wrote this in my book about how even if you can look at someone who's an atheist and you say this person is successful, I don't believe that an atheist can reach the highest level of success that could have been attainable without God. Even if he's the richest in the world, I believe that he could be 10 times that if he had God. So with your striving to become excellent in other things, God should not be left out of it. In fact, when I was thinking about this, in my mind, I thought about how excellence is tied to purpose, how excellence and excelling in your field is tied to purpose. Because, for an example, I can't say that a fish is the fastest runner. Because the fish was not designed to run. A fish was designed to swim. Same thing, I cannot say that a whale or a fish or whatever fastest fish that swims is the fastest runner. It cannot even be in a competition on 100 meters because it was not designed to run races. My point is that your excellence should be found in purpose that God has given you. Because that's one of the reasons why we don't succeed. I think I'll get to that, but I guess I'm jumping out ahead of myself. So one of the reasons why we don't succeed and excel is because we're in the wrong field. We're in the wrong place. We're in the wrong location. A place that is not designed for us. The place that God did not put you in. And I pray that if you are such a person, the Lord will open your eyes to see and he will align and order your steps to the right place where you ought to be. And you will flourish there, excel there in the name of Jesus. So pursue character. Don't also pursue things and not be transforming yourself. Let's read this scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. That means you can, if you read this scripture, you see that you cannot even be doing the wrong thing. Because if you are doing the wrong thing and you think you are excelling, that is not unto the Lord. You can't be doing a wrong thing unto the Lord. Doing the right thing in your purpose, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Amen. This takes away the issue of eye service, where you do things right when people are there, but when they're not there, you don't do it. That's not us in Jesus' name. You're excellent in secret. You're excellent in the open. The third definition I have here is excellence is continuous commitment to improvement. It is not a destination. It's a lifelong journey of growth. Constantly improve. Constantly learning. Constantly thinking, what can I add to this? What can I add to that? In James chapter 1, we won't go into that, but James was telling us that we should count it all joy when we fall into trials, because those things, you see that a list of virtues that are added to it. Add to your faith. Add to your joy. Add to your peace. Add to your competence until you become an expert. Constantly learn, constantly move. And so some people might say, oh, I don't think I'm performing excellently now. And I don't think, how will I get to that place? How would I get to that top, that excellence level that is the highest, 100%? I think, this is my humble admonition to you. Sometimes when you think at the top and it becomes very overwhelming, you won't take any step. But when you say to yourself, I'm making an improvement, then you will take that step to get there. Improvement one day after the other. Improvement one year after the other. That is excellence. Taking a step of improvement. Seeing that there is a higher and better place and taking steps in that direction. So why do some people not pursue excellence? Why do some people not pursue excellence? I'm sure most of us are from Nigeria here. I remember in school, you know, our parents didn't even let us slide. Average was not acceptable. Even though themselves may not have scored, you know, the first, they would lie so that they, well, they would distort the truth, to put it mildly, to say, my parents were not like that. Let me just say, my parents were not like that. But there was, in fact, I used to feel a lot of pressure in my house because my dad was smart, my mom was a lecturer, my two older siblings, they didn't need extra lessons. They were just very high flyers. And so I never, with my results, it was nothing to compare with theirs. I think the highest score, as I remember, as a child, was we used to do this position. They would take first or second, my older siblings. In fact, my younger sister, my younger brother, they too, I don't think there was any time they passed third. They were always, but the highest I ever got, and I'm not talking about what the past, let's not talk about the ones that were below, you know, 10, the 10th level. Mine was fifth. That was the highest I ever got, fifth. And I was so excited. I was like, at least I can be part of the first, you know. In this country, they don't do this positioning thing. So even with raising my children, I only just encourage them and, you know, spur them on to excellence. Because I can't say, oh, you didn't get, you know, first position. There's no first position. Everybody either passes or fails. And so what was I saying before I got there? But I was trying to say that, well, we know, it's not new to us that our parents pushed us to succeed. They would always tell us, oh, I became first. Oh, the other person that took first, are they different? You know, they push us and tell us that it's possible. And I celebrate that because I think that that's a good way to let people know that, oh, there are possibilities. Don't settle for less. You can do more. I mean, there were other ways that they could have, you know, tried to encourage us, but we're not unfamiliar with the ways of excellence or with the call for excellence. But why don't we pursue excellence? Our parents tell us succeed. Our friends tell us succeed. In fact, you know, when we compare ourselves, we feel like we're falling short. Why don't we pursue excellence? Because, number one, we accept mediocrity. Because I ask the question, what's the opposite of 100%? What's the opposite of 100%? What's the opposite of excellence? We said zero. So that means if someone came with 50% and they passed the class, we would say, okay, that's fine. We accept it. But whatever you accept, you will never change. When you accept it, it becomes the norm. Many people have settled for good enough, but until you are dissatisfied with where you are, you will never strive for better. Until you are dissatisfied with where you are, you will never strive for better. So I want us to consider our lives. Where is it that we have settled for mediocrity? And we said, oh, it's okay. It's average. At least I'm not at the bottom. You know the reason why a mediocre person, for me, is worse than a person who is at the bottom totally. So someone who gets 0%, it means they don't know it at all. But the average person, to me, I feel like the person has exercised some form of knowledge, but did not apply themselves a little bit more to become that excellent person. So for me, it's just like you have the capacity. So why are you not there? Why are you not at the top? Why do you settle for less? Why do you settle for average? Why do you settle for mediocrity? Just because everyone accepts it? I just challenge us today to examine our lives. Where is it that you have accepted mediocrity? Sometimes it's even how people treat us. How they, you know, to some people it's acceptable for them to be late at your meetings. Maybe because of the way you also project and come late to their meetings. But you can be sure that if I have a meeting with you and you don't show up on time, I'm probably not going to have a meeting with you again, except by the grace of God. Because as much as possible, I try to be on time to place. Because I respect people's time. And I respect God. We come to church early because we respect God. We are diligent with the assignment God has given us. And by the grace of God, we come to church early. I will not settle for less than that. I've set the standard. If we read Daniel, you'll see that at the beginning in Daniel chapter 1, Daniel already set his heart to please the Lord. He said, I will not eat what the other people are eating. No, this is my path. I have chosen to be on this path of excellence. Even when it was challenged about praying to God, he's like, as usual, I will pray to my God. And he got into trouble for that, but guess what? God delivered him. But he had his mind set. I'm telling you, if you make up your mind that I will be on time, you will be on time. Because you did not give yourself an option not to be on time. So we accept mediocrity. That's one reason why we don't pursue excellence. The second thing is that we fear the effort or sacrifice that is required. How many of us have tried working out or losing weight? You know. And there have been times where I was consistent, but somehow things happened, I fell off the track. And then I'm trying to start getting up on my exercises again. But I'm low-key afraid of the body pains that I will experience when I start it again. And so sometimes we start on a journey, we fall off, we don't continue because we know that it takes some sacrifice, some pain, and we're not ready for that. Again, I think it's time back to the point that if you're not unsatisfied with where you are, you will not make a change. So we're afraid of the effort. We're afraid of the sacrifice. We're afraid of the pain. But I want to encourage you this morning that pain is worth it. That pain is worth it because it's working out something more excellent for you. You are becoming better. You are becoming more, if it's for losing weight, you are becoming more, you are becoming healthier. If it's regarding finances, you're becoming richer. You have to look at the end goal. Otherwise, you will not take the steps or take the pain or take the sacrifice that is in front of you. That's the second reason why some people don't pursue excellence. The third reason here is that there's a myth that people, only certain people can attain excellence. So we'll say, oh, some people are born smart, some people are born rich, or some people are just born like that. I don't disagree with the fact that some people have certain things, some gifts that God has given them. But I don't want you to excuse yourself from excellence or greatness because by saying that someone has excellence in their genes, and we don't know book. That's what some people will say. We don't really know. Some people say, I'm not good at math. That is the beginning of your failure. When you say, I'm not good at math, I'm not good at English. No. You are just on a progress, on a path to excellence. And acknowledge that you are getting on a path to that greatness. So it doesn't matter if you seem lower now. With a little help there, with a little step here, with a little increase here, with a little wisdom here, you are getting to that place of excellence. So your conversation should never be, we are not smart in our house. I don't know math. And I think if you have that mentality, you will not try good new things. Some people are afraid of, you know, technology, afraid of, you know, I don't know, maybe technology is the wildest thing I'll say now. But how many of you know that we can't do away with it in this day and age? Even if you were afraid to touch technology or computers, it's coming to your doorstep. It's coming right there. So the earlier you embrace change, the more proactive you are, the more successful you will be. You can't leave things that you don't know to say, oh, no, I don't know about it. I've never really done this. I think I remember the story of one of our sisters that came to give a testimony here that she didn't really know math, you know, in school, and it was frightening for her. But by the grace of God, she took the bull by the horn, and she passed. Because she taught herself, and maybe if she had the choice, she probably would have not, maybe if it was an elective, she maybe would have not chosen it. But she didn't have a choice. That was what was put in front of her. sometimes situations place some things in front of us and we can't run away from it. Other times, we ourselves should put things in front of ourselves and say, this is the path forward. I'm going to face this Goliath. I'm going to learn this skill. And especially immigrants, people that come from other countries here. Sometimes when you get here, the things you knew before, they're not going to, you know, take you forward here. But by learning from your sister and brother, with a willingness to learn, with a willingness to improve your knowledge, you become an excellent person. So don't believe that lie of the enemy that you cannot be excellent. Maybe, as I prayed earlier, I mentioned earlier, that you need to find the path that God has created for you. But if you are along that path that God has created for you, there's excellence for you. Don't believe the lie that only some set of people are on the path of excellence. Excellence is not for a select few. It's for anyone willing to go beyond average. God gives everyone the capacity to improve. The fourth reason I have here is lack of persistence. Lack of persistence. Some start well. Some do not finish. Remember we said we are in the image of God. God is a finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. God does not, when we were reading the confession, he says, he that began a good work in me will complete it. God is a completer. God is a finisher. And the reason why we trust God and we have faith in him is because he's an excellent God. If we believe that God is not excellent, we won't trust him for things. But because we know he's an excellent God, that he does, when he says, I will do it, it means he will do it. Then we can trust him. Then we can depend on him. That's why he's an excellent God. What he said he will do it. So also with you. When you say you will do something, do it. My sister, my brother, when you say you will do something, please do it. And this is a challenge for all of us. I don't claim to be a perfect person, as God is helping me. I think also when you make promises to yourself, I do well when I commit to other people because, I don't know, there's that level of accountability and I also want to appear good in their eyes, right? So I'll meet you at the time I said I will come. If I'm running late, I will let you know. If I said I will do this for you, I will do it. If I'm running late, I will let you know. But when I make commitments for myself that only me will see, there's a challenge. I said I will eat right. Nobody saw when I made the commitment, so it's okay for me to cheat, right? Don't cheat yourself. Be true to yourself. You said you were going to save this amount of money this month. You said you were going to study to do that course. You made the commitment to yourself. You saw the future there. You started it. Finish it. So the reason why we don't pursue excellence is because we're not persistent. We don't follow through. We postpone to another day. We procrastinate. But that's not how Jesus is. That's not how God is. And God is calling us to that place of persistence, that place where we start and finish. So those books on your shelves that you started, can we make a commitment to finish it? Because you saw something when you bought that book. There was a reason you started that course. There was something that was ahead of you. There was something you saw. Let's be like Jesus. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame. That was him pressing in excellence. That was him pursuing excellence. I said I was going to die on the cross. And he followed through. Was it easy for him? It wasn't easy for him. At some point in the place of prayer, he told the Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. But the Bible says in Hebrews, who for the joy that was set before him, he despised how he was feeling. He despised the shame. He despised all of that. And he pressed forward to that goal. And indeed, he said, it is finished. He finished. So you too should also finish. Is there a path that God has called you to? When you start a fast, finish it. You said you will break at 6. What happened at 3 p.m.? Like I said, I'm not perfect. I'm just a messenger. Start something. When you say you start it, finish it. You started a book, finish it. I'm sure with movies on Netflix, you finish that one, no? Right? We finish. Sometimes we even watch it again. It's interesting. And I'm not saying that you can't watch series. But how many of us know that the path to excellence is a climb? It's an effort you have to make. To go down a slope, you don't need to really do anything. That's how the F is. It's down by default. You know, how come it is that the good foods, they are the ones that don't taste good? You have to make an effort to be excellent. So we say bread is not good. Eh? Where Jesus is the bread of life. So sweet. Right? But I heard there are healthier breads, you know. My point is that to go down the slide, you don't need to make an effort. You just go. Just sit down. In fact, in a room, you've cleaned the room once. Just leave it for how many weeks and days. You come inside. Will you meet it the same way? This earth, down by default. It goes down by default. Many times in my house, I will say, wash the plates. They'll say, Mommy, I just washed it. Or I washed it yesterday. I'll say, today is another day. You washed it yesterday. Does not mean you will not wash it today. You ate yesterday, you ate today. It's easy to eat, but not easy to tidy up. Right? So we have to put it in perspective. God allows us to enjoy the things of life. Yeah, it's good. But we have to realize that the path or the pursuit to excellence is an upward climb. It takes an effort. It takes effort. It will not happen by default. Amen? It will not happen by default. By number four, I mentioned lack of persistence. You finish what you start, or people are not willing to finish what they start. And then number five here is comparison. And I think I mentioned that a little bit when we say we settle for average. If someone scored 49% and we scored 50, we feel like we're doing good. But that's not excellent. Just because you're a little better than someone else, it's not excellent. Don't pat yourself on the back and say, at least I'm better than my neighbor. That's not excellence. You are in competition with the better version of yourself. Maybe that person has a problem understanding, but you don't. Don't compare yourself to the other person. The Bible says that, I'm not sure what's happening, but the Bible says that they're comparing themselves with each other. You know, they are fools. Normally, you don't take an effort to go down. Decline happens naturally. Growth requires intentional effort. Now, how to pursue excellence? I think I've said some of the things to pursue excellence. When I was talking about the reasons why people don't pursue excellence, I'll be a better preacher next time. But here, how to pursue excellence. First of all, believe that it is possible. Believe that it is possible. If you think that it's not possible, you'll never take the steps to attain it. Daniel had an excellent spirit, and he sought to please the Lord because he believed it was possible. When he was faced with hard answers, he went to God, and God gave him the answers. Excellence starts from within. It starts from your mind. It's not about just, you know, living daily ordinarily, but having the mind that I am a person of excellence and I produce excellent work. I do excellent things. And can I just make it open here that I know some of us are excellent in our places of work, but when it comes to church, we're a little sloppy. God is excellent and he deserves excellence. So if there is a text message or email that you cannot write to your boss or to your colleague, and you feel like it's okay to send it here in the church of God just because it's a thing of God, that's not acceptable. That's not excellence. Remember, we said excellence all around. Some people seem to have some level of excellence at, you know, their workplace or to places where people demand stuff from them. But when it comes to places where they are, you know, volunteering, you give God subpar work. That's not excellence, please. Right? Remember that scripture we read in Colossians 3. It says, anything you do, do it as unto the Lord, not unto man. There's a story about someone who she was a cleaner in a place, and the boss, the person who hired her, noticed that the place became cleaner than usual. And then he said, "Oh, what's the matter? Do you have more time now? Do you have, you know, why is this place cleaner than it usually is?" She says, "Oh, I put in an extra effort, and since I became born again, I started sweeping under the carpet." So before she got born again, she was just sweeping over things, doing things as she liked. But as she became, when she became born again, the Lord convicted her. She started doing things excellently. Then she raised the carpet, the foot mat, and started sweeping under it. And it was conspicuous. Someone noticed it. But the thing is, if nobody even notices it, you owe yourself, because you are an excellent person. When no one is watching, when someone is watching, you are the same. Is that not how God is? He's excellent. He's good. You know, to everybody he shows, he gives, you know, abundance of rain and sun. God is calling us to that place of excellence. But it starts with, first of all, our belief. What we think about excellence. Whether we think it is possible. Whether we think we can do great things. We can do excellent things. The Lord is aligning us today in the name of Jesus. The second reason, or second method, second way we can become excellent is give your best always. Always give your best. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. We can read that. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Basically, as you are alive and living right now, give excellence. Give all the best you can to it. Do it with all thy might. Amen. Don't do things halfway. God deserves your best. Number three, keep growing and improving. I already mentioned this. Be teachable. Keep learning. Don't become stagnant. Don't leave things static or everything, you know, just by default. Be intentional about, you know, pursuing success, growing, improving. When you stop growing, you are really going behind. Because like I mentioned, when you leave things by default, dust will get on it. Right? And what was clean, what was once clean, would become dirty. Amen. The next point I have here is review your work. Review your work. I tell my children that too. Most times, they want to go over their homework so fast, so they can go to do other things, to play. And of course, children will play, right? But you end up realizing that they probably skipped one. They skipped number three and number seven. Or they wrote it just shabbily, that you are confused about what they wrote. They write zero, like six, right? But if they reviewed their work, if they went back to it to say, "Oh, let me just give it a little bit of time, I will find where there's an error." This also applies to us with work too, right? You write, say, an email, and there are dots all over the place. How many of you tried writing "Hello, Sam," and then you missed the zero with "Hello," and what does it become? How the other person, when they receive it, what would they be like? "What's wrong with Tammy today? Is she okay?" Just review it. In fact, with things like spell check and all of that, you really don't have any excuse not to produce an excellent email. You really don't. And it speaks of you when you, of course, your colleagues could be forgiven. They'll say, "Oh, yeah, okay, she made a mistake, she had a bad day." But when it's repeated, what does that tell of you? It doesn't tell that you're excellent. You just need to review your work. God did that. Whenever he created everything, he said he considered what he said, and he said it was good. You need to review. Review what you're doing. We are drawing to the end of the year now. It's an opportunity for you to say, "How did this year really go? Did I do well? Was I accountable?" in my relationships, how am I? Am I a good friend? Am I a good wife? Am I a good husband? Am I a good parent? Today, my daughter was telling me, I was telling some people, they were running. I was like, I was telling them, oh, don't, you're going to hurt yourself. She said, if it's me, you will yell. I wanted to give it back to her. But I remembered this message. Be an excellent mom. She just gave you feedback. Basically, our children give us feedback. People give us, if we pay attention, we will see the feedback that our environment is giving us. Your account is also giving you feedback. Your weight is giving you feedback. When you climb on the scale, what message are you hearing? When you look in the mirror, what message, what feedback are you getting? Review your day. Review your year. Review your month. And I was going to do a publication or a post about this. I said, leaders especially, we need to be able to have tough conversations, brutal conversations. As a pastor, I appreciate it when people come to give me feedback that's not good. I mean, it's not, you won't be happy about it, but eventually it will take you to a higher level. But I think, I don't know if it's cultural, I probably would consider speaking to other pastors that are not Nigerian. They feel like if someone is a pastor, they can't tell them the truth. Ah, who will now tell pastor that this was happening? Who will now tell? So that leaves you in a place where you have to be wise as a leader to observe your environment and tell yourself the brutal truth. Tell yourself, because really, if you are not a nice person, people won't flock to you. People won't tell you stuff. People won't, even if you've not heard a compliment every now and then that means you are not doing a good job. So tell yourself the truth. Sometimes some people may not be able to tell you. They feel like, oh, maybe too bad to tell them this. It will crush your emotion. It will crush your ego. But if you are a person who reviews your life, reviews yourself, you're able to recount and say, okay, how could I have done better with this? Then you will take the necessary steps. Let us see this example in Mark chapter 8. This was about Jesus. Mark chapter 8 from verse 22 to 26. Please, can I have NKJV? I know Pastor likes KJV, but I don't want to say do it, go it, well it. So please just, yeah, thank you so much. Okay. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he spat on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Verse 25, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Can you see Jesus did not leave the guy halfway? He reviewed the walk. He said, okay, can you see now? He asked him a question. And he said, I see men as trees. If he had an average mindset, he would say, oh, at least it's not zero. At least you can't see anything. You will see when people are moving. You will see at least. But Jesus said, no. He touched him again. He touched him again. If we review our walk again, if we review, just take a moment to just step back and say, oh, Jesus asked him. You know, if Jesus didn't ask him, the guy may have even been happy to say, oh, at least I'm seeing, maybe as I'm going home, I'll see better. But Jesus asked him. He said, oh, I see men as trees. Maybe he just saw trees walking. I said, at least you will find your way when you are going to the store and everything. That's better than zero. How many of us will agree that was better than not seeing? That's better. But Jesus moved from better to excellent. He said, no. There's power available for you to be healed. I am the resurrection and the life. I cannot touch this thing, this man, and it will be half done. That is how you should take your walk. I cannot be in this department and this place will be like this. I cannot be in this church and this place will be like this. I cannot be in my family and my family will be like this. What are you doing about it? What step are you taking toward excellence? So review your work. Refine your work. Review it. It takes time for you to just pause and say, okay, what did I do? How, did I do it well? Sometimes ask people. Ask people for feedback. How do you think that went? Ask your boss feedback. Ask your pastor feedback. Ask your team lead feedback. Some things you'll be able to see yourself, but some things it'll be good to get the feedback from other people. Create the atmosphere where people can really correct you and tell you things. If when someone tells you the truth as a brother and a sister to improve your life, you just take offense, you cancel them, you block them, how will you become better? How will iron sharpen iron? When iron sharpens iron, imagine that's you. It's not comfortable. It's not. But it's for a greater good. Remember I mentioned that some people don't take excellence or people don't strive for excellence because of the pain and the sacrifice associated with growth or excellence. Don't be that person where when they give you feedback, it's almost as if you have, they have created an enemy out of yourself. Because I corrected you, I'm now your enemy. Be open to feedback. Be open to change. It's for a greater good. Amen. So evaluate, refine, correct as you go. Number five, finish what you start. I already mentioned that about one of the reasons why people don't pursue excellence, because they fail, they don't want to be persistent. They just want to be fluid. They don't want to go in the straight and narrow. Excellence follows through. Jesus said, it is finished. Do not abandon task halfway. Excellence sees things through to completion. Amen. The next one I have here is go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Matthew 5:41. If anyone compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Basically, exceeding expectations. How many of us feel good when maybe you order something and they give you an extra? Yeah. So I see someone, right? Our hand went up very high. I like it too. They go the extra mile. My husband always make fun of me anytime he sees any cheesecake factory restaurant. He'll say, oh, their bread is hot. Because that was the comment I made to him one time. I think one of the first time I went to the restaurant and they'll bring out the warm bread and everything just to get you feeling comfortable. So, in fact, there was a day I went to the restaurant and the bread they brought wasn't hot. I was like, this is not what I'm used to. So, and that is the extra they give you. That's the extra they give you. You don't pay for it. It's the extra. But I did forget that experience. And anytime we see cheesecake from my husband, we just say, oh, it's very hot. I'm like, please, stop making fun of me. Because I gave him that feedback that I love the place. I don't know, for other people, what you went to a place, they washed your car, but they gave you a free air freshener. You went over the mark. You liked it, right? So you also, when you do things, put that little extra. You give something to someone, put an extra smile there. You submit the document, put an extra smile there. Let your attitude on top be the cherry on top, that it would be delightful to receive something from you. Go the extra mile. That extra mile distinguishes you from the ordinary. You know, that was the example of Joseph. That's one of my favorite Bible characters. Joseph, he was in the prison. They called him to interpret a dream. In fact, his extra mile started from way back. In the prison, he noticed some people who were sad. He was able to notice that they were happy yesterday and today they are sad. And he asked the question, why are you sad? And then they told him the dreams. He interpreted the dreams. But he distinguished himself. He was a very diligent person when he was in Potiphar's house. That's why the man gave him rulership to take charge of all of his property. And in prison, he was made the head of all the prisoners there. There was something about Joseph. But the part I want to emphasize on was the fact that he was called to the palace to interpret a dream. And when he interpreted that dream, he told them what the dream meant. And he gave them a recommendation for how to deal with that thing. He did not only spell out what the problem is. I believe that most times when we see a problem, God himself has also given us the ability to do something about it. No matter how small. No matter how small. If you see it, that means you know how it should be. And then you notice that there was a problem. So what step are you making toward making it how you think it should be? So Joseph did not just say, oh, this is what the dream means. This is what God is going to do in the next couple of days. He gave them a recommendation. If you read that scripture in Genesis 39:40, you will see. And when the time came, and the king said, the emperor said, yeah, that's a good idea. In fact, you be the person to implement the idea. You be the person. And I think sometimes for us, we may feel afraid of offering recommendations because we feel like, I can't do what I think, you know. But don't be afraid. That is your route to greatness. That's your route to promotion. That's your route to the higher ground. I believe it strongly. If God has opened your eyes to see something that is not right, you have in you something that can make it right. You just need to take that step in that right direction. Sometimes it may just be a suggestion. Sometimes it could be that the suggestion you have may not be the right thing, but when you bring forth that suggestion to someone, they will say, oh, that's right. Can we just add something on it? But that seed of suggestion that you brought, that seed of identifying what the problem is, or that seed of showing interest in solving that problem will be your route to the top, your route to excellence. That's what David also did. There was a problem. People were threatening the country, the nation. He said it's not right because he's uncircumcised. We are the chosen. We are the children of God. And he went for it. Amen. Number 7. I think it pretty much just rounds everything up and says, value the price of excellence. Excellence has a cost. And I think that it also applies to our own selves as individuals. Like I said, sometimes we settle for some things that people give us. We accept it. Maybe let me just give an example of a young lady who is single. You settle for the wrong marriage because you don't value yourself as an excellent person. You can't correct people when they do things that is subpar. You don't feel like you're worth you demanding excellence. You're an excellent person, so demand excellence. Don't take anything, you know, even with your, when you are buying things. I used to be a culprit. God is helping me to spend on myself and not feel guilty. It's expensive because it's quality. I'm excellent. I get quality things. I'm okay to wear it without guilt. This is not greed. But you don't need to have 100. Maybe it's only 2 you have that are quality. It's good. It looks good on you. You represent God. Where you go, where you're going, you're with neat clothes. I think Pastor mentioned that the other time. You're with neat clothes because what you have is quality. You feel like it's yours, and so anything that's on you should be excellent. You give it the best that you can. So don't settle for less. Demand for more. Even as mothers too, in my house, I had to talk because sometimes, like my own. What I'm naturally built with is calm and, you know, good. But I realize that if you don't demand for some things, you won't get. So, because everybody will feel, oh, she's okay, she's fine, but I'm not okay. I'm not fine. The other day, I can't remember, I think it was Mother's Day or something. Everybody was just in the house doing like normal. I'm like, ah. I was expecting a flower to come out from somewhere or someone to, you know, write something. Of course, Pastor had plans, but me, I felt I should receive it early in the morning so that I'll be happy throughout the day. You can't be planning for lunch and not. So I called my children. In fact, they too knew that mommy was not happy. They said, no, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm an excellent person. I will receive excellence. No, you honor your mother. Even if it's a note, you can't just be doing like normal. Oh, happy Mother's Day. In fact, they got their head sermon. Ah, this is how you do with all that I do in this house. Hey, you can't even do, you can't even give me breakfast in bed. You can't even. Maybe I was asking for too much, right? But the truth of the matter is, I rose up to the fact that I'm important. I'm a person of excellence. And my birthday, Mother's Day, don't take it for granted. Show me love and honor. Yes, because I work hard. As God helps me. I know God is the one that rewards, right? But it feels good to receive it from the people that you do it for. And it's rewarding. It will even fuel, you know, you to do more. So I told them and I gave them. So I'm ending with the fact that you are an excellent person. Don't only do things excellently. Don't settle for less. But also don't accept less for who you are. You can say it with love and kindness, maybe better than me. But don't accept anything less than what God has designed for you to get and for you to produce. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. He will help us to ascend to that place of excellence, and he will help us to take those daily steps in persistence to get to that place of excellence in the name of Jesus. I just want to give an opportunity to someone today. Maybe you've not given your heart to the Lord. You have not trusted him as your Lord and Savior. Right here, all those watching online, I don't know, because really that's where excellence starts from. Like I mentioned, you cannot say that a fish is the fastest runner, because it was not designed to do it. But how do you know what you are designed to do? How do you know your place of excellence? God can lead you. God can guide you. But it starts with you giving your life to him, trusting him with your life, telling him, my life is for you, Lord. You are my Savior, you are my Lord. So if you are here today, you've never done that, you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, I just want you to wave your hands to me. Or if you feel like you have strayed, you need to recommit your heart to him. I don't see any hands. Yeah, but if you are watching later, just ask the Lord to come into your heart. Recognize that he's the one that made you. And your life does not really belong to you. And so tell him, Lord, you are my God. You made me. Forgive me from every wrong path I've taken. Today, I trust you as my Lord and Savior. Begin to walk in me and help me to live the rest of my life honoring you. In Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, you've committed your life to the Lord, and this is the best path you can take toward excellence. The rest of us, I want us to just bow our heads and just review your life. Maybe there are some things, as I was talking, there are some things that you feel, oh, I settled here. Oh, I'm settling in my marriage. I don't honor my spouse the way I should. Oh, I'm settling as a mother. I don't correct anymore. I'm settling even in myself. I accept mediocrity. I want you to ask the Lord for strength to take the steps in the right direction. As he's opening your eyes to it, I'm sure he has something in mind for you. So ask him, Lord, I don't want to settle for less in this area and that area. I don't want to settle for less spiritually. I don't want to settle for less. I don't want to settle for less. I don't want to settle for less. Help me, oh God. Help me, oh God, to pursue excellence, to be intentional about everything that pertains to me, that I'm not leaving any loopholes, not leaving things undone. I start and I finish in the name of Jesus. And I speak to that person. Maybe you have failed a couple of times and you feel like, you know, I can't go on anymore. Excellence is not for me. Success is not for me. I tell you in the name of Jesus, that is the lie of the enemy. You are not excellent because you failed. You are not excellent because you did not try again, because you did not continue again. So I speak courage to you. I speak strength to you. I speak a fresh vision to you. I speak zeal to you in the name of Jesus. You will not settle for less in the mighty name of Jesus. And let's just take this moment to pray over our children that in the name of Jesus, they will excel in their schools. They will excel. They will shine. They will stand out. In the mighty name of Jesus, like Daniel, they will not bow down to the God of this age. In the name of Jesus, they will be children that are diligent. They will be children that are excellent. In the mighty name of Jesus.